helped move the ball a little bit as well. Jeff West, we'll get to that in a moment, but that was a struggle for them tonight. So just like that, blink of an eye, 14-0, Hiawatha was leading. Jefferson West got the ball back for a second time in the third quarter. Ultimately, couldn't even take a minute off the clock and would have to punt it away. And then Hiawatha would get the ball back near midfield, and that would take us into the fourth quarter. Now, they would turn it over on downs, but they wasted a good 4 or 5 minutes. And then Jeff West, a third possession with 7:50 to go in the game, needing some points, down 14-0, but two passes in, and it went to the wrong team. A 35-yard pick six by Connor Kettler at about 7.5 minutes to go in the game put the nail in the coffin. 21-0, that score would hold up the rest of the game, as, again, Hiawatha gets their first win of the year by a final score of 21-0. We gave our player or players of the game. We credited the Hiawatha defense. They held Jeff West to roughly 120, 130 total yards of offense. They forced 3 second-half interceptions. Ethan Morton, 12 carries, 59 yards, 2 short touchdown runs. Josh Monaghan, productive as well, 14 carries for 65 yards. So again, 21-0, Hiawatha wins it. And for Jefferson West, they're back at home against Holton next week. And for Hiawatha, they needed this one. They got to go to Hayden next Friday night. Again, Hiawatha wins it 21-0 over Jeff West. I'm Brandon Tadman reporting for the High School Scoreboard Show.
All right, B-Tad, thank you very much for that recap. As mentioned, Hiawatha, a big-time win for the Redhawks. And now they get to take on a bunch of angry Wildcats next week, it sounds like. As Hayden drops to Wamego. Sticking with our recaps, your Bonds, a game that we were keeping our eye on and we were focusing in on as one of our potential games of the week was Royal Valley at Sabetha. Man, what a contest. The second time this year that Sabetha has won by 1 point. Logan Bitterman had the call tonight on the Sabetha Channel.
Two Big East teams would match up in a Class 2A district and Big East matchup here tonight in Sabetha, as the Panthers of Royal Valley would come into this one at 2-1 to take on the 2-1 Blue Jays, who were hosting homecoming here this evening. And they would both look to go to 3-1 this year and 1-0 to start the season in district play. The Blue Jays, on their first drive of the game, would get a 4-yard touchdown run by running back Landon Meyer here this evening. Big key on that one is that would be the only touchdown the Blue Jays would have here in this one, as the rest of the night it was punt or turnover on downs pretty much for both teams. However, Royal Valley, right towards the end of the game, would get a 64-yard touchdown pass from Griffin Compton to Nolan Bosch. But unfortunately, Royal Valley, instead of going for the tying extra point, would go for two and be unsuccessful in their attempt. So Sabetha gets the win 7-6. The final stats go like this. For Sabetha, they were led on the ground by Landon Meyer. He had 126 yards and 1 touchdown carrying the football tonight. And then Curtis Fitzgerald had 39 yards, Cole Minold with 37 as well for the Blue Jays in the win. Royal Valley in the loss was led on the ground by Jackson Stevens. He had 75 yards rushing here this evening. Manny Oliveira had 51 yards on the ground, and Nolan Bosch had 36 yards rushing the football as well. But Griffin Compton had 78 yards, especially thanks to that 64-yard touchdown pass and the touchdown. And that was to Nolan Bosch, who had 66 yards receiving on 2 catches and 1 touchdown as well. So Sabetha, they've moved to 3-1 overall this season, 1-0 in district play. Their next game will be at ACCHS, which will be on the Sabetha channel once again. Royal Valley, they dropped to 2-2 overall and 0-1 in district play this season. They will be on the road for a non-district Big East League matchup with the Cause of Perry LeCompton next Friday night. For the MSC Radio Network, I'm Logan Bitterman.
All right, Logan, thank you very much for that. A tight game by Sabetha. Oof. Able to hang on there 7-6 over the Royal Valley Panthers in a game that, again, we expected that to be a good one.
Well, we talked about it last week in Royal Valley, team that you were, you know, early in the season, you were talking about, hey, this is a really good Royal Valley team, and they are. They just got to find a way to get over the hump. They got to find a way to beat, you know, they lost last week to Holton with 4 turnovers in the first half. They just can't find a way to get that. What you would look at as a big win, a notch in the cap, and that would have been one tonight against Sabetha.
All right, that was my runner-up. dark horse this year, the Roll Valley Panthers, as they fall now to an even 500 mark of 2-2 this season. And Sabetha improves now to 3-1. Boz, again, a Sabetha team that, you know, they graduate, what, 21, 22 letter winners from a season
tons,
ago?
Tons.
Coach Garrett Michael, no longer the head coach, but hey, he's not getting off that sideline.
Oh, yeah.
He's still hanging out there, but Caleb Moeller doing a great job. I mean, starting off the season 3-1, did you see that coming?
No. Honestly, I didn't. Just because it's so difficult to replace virtually everything. You got guys that maybe are capable to fill those spots, but they don't have the experience.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, to start out and get the win, I think, was big over Holton in week one.
Yep.
Get that win, get a little confidence. And then, I mean, I did not expect a 3-1 start.
Yeah, and the one loss, a tight one to Perry LeCompton, 12-9 at home a couple weeks ago. But they bounced back last week against Hiawatha, 35-0, and then a big, again, you can't just say, oh, they beat Royal Valley. Royal Valley is a very good team.
Yeah.
And so that's a good win for the Sabetha Blue Jays for sure. You want to stay in the Big East here?
Come on, yeah.
All right, Big East action as well as district action in Holton tonight on the Holton Channel. It was Perry LeCompton, my dark horse, trying to come back after their loss last week to Silver Lake, and a tight one. That game was 18-12. And Holton, after a pretty big win at Royal Valley last Friday as well, it was homecoming in Holton. Justin, how did it go?
Class 3A district opener, and the Holton Wildcats defeat the Perry LeCompton Cause by a final score of 33-14. Final score a little bit deceiving, mainly because Perry LeCompton had 3 turnovers and Holton had 0, and the Cause also hurt themselves with 12 penalties for 95 yards. Holton only had 5 total penalties on the night, but the Wildcats ran the football 68 times for all 306 of their offensive yards. And the key in this game was that Holton led 20-0 in just over the first 8 minutes. Holton would get the football first after a long kickoff return by Bodie Dillon, and they scored on a 4-play, 18-yard drive with Kyler Jackson's 4-yard touchdown. Then they forced a Perry LeCompton punt, which was blocked by Holton's Owen Clayton, set up another short field and a 1-yard Bodie Dillon touchdown run to make it 14-0. Then the Holton defense got an interception by Corbin Wilson and again had a short field and scored after that interception on a 1-play, 39-yard touchdown run, again by the quarterback Bodie Dillon, and it was 20-0 Wildcats in the blink of an eye. Of course, this was deja vu as they had the same thing happen 2 weeks ago against Riley County, and again, Holton didn't really shut the doors. Perry LeCompton got back in it. They scored in the second quarter on a 68-yard touchdown run as Bronson Rush got loose and made it 20-6 at halftime. Cause had the football but had to punt early in the third quarter, and Holton put the game away with the only score in the third quarter, capping a 15-play, 74-yard drive, consumed over 6.5 minutes, and an Andrew Shoup 1-yard touchdown run put Holton up by 3 TDs. Holton would get a fourth quarter touchdown run from Kel Frazier before Perry LeCompton scored with 1 second left in the game and added a 2-point conversion for the final score of 33-14. Perry LeCompton had 154 yards rushing, but was just 6 of 19 for 96 yards in the passing game. Bronson Rush had 88 yards. Colton Kniper added 34 yards on the ground, while Eli Dean had 70 yards receiving on 3 catches. Perry now 1-3 on the season. Holton's leading rusher was Kyler Jackson again with 100 yards on 21 carries. Kel Frazier added 69 yards, Bodie Dillon 65 yards, Andrew Shoup 58 yards, as Holton had 4 different guys score touchdowns as well. Shoup and Frazier with their first ones of the year, Bodie Dillon and Kyler Jackson into the end zone in this district opener as well. 33-14, Holton wins their second straight, now 2-2. On the season, heading to Jeff West next week, Perry LeCompton will have their final non-district game at home against Royal Valley. For the MSC Sports Radio Network, I'm Justin Fluke reporting.
All right, Justin, thank you very much for that. Again, Holton now, Boz, they're looking good. They're looking like Holton you've seen, and the way that you kind of expect Holton to be,
yeah? Yeah, I mean, if you follow Holton football at all, you know, sometimes in that offense, it takes a little while. And Holton was replacing a lot of guys, too, on the offensive line. That was the big question, I think, going into this season. They had good skill guys, but the offensive line starts everything. The dogs up front, they got to do the work. And you've seen that progression week by week. They started out 0-2. Now they're 2-2. They're kind of getting some momentum. We've seen this before from Holton. If they can keep that going, this is going to be a team to watch out for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I'll tell you that we got a couple more recaps to get to, but the Giant Communications Hotline is open for you. Boss, what's that phone number?
785.
Did you write it down?
I did.
All right.
I had it, yeah. 785-547-3461.
Giant Communications Hotline. Boss, what's better than free?
A whole lot of free.
Free times three. That's a free month of free internet, a free month of managed Wi-Fi, and a free installation of your service. Give them a call at 785-362-9331 or visit giantcomm.net today to see how you could qualify for the free times three promotion. And maybe a little teaser here.
Okay.
Giant Communications has some things in the works. If you're not a big fan of maybe the cell provider you got, just hang tight.
Okay.
There might be something coming down the line from old Giant Communications. So keep it on giantcomm.net for you to get some more information for sure. By the way, the phone line is open, but we do have somebody on the line right now, Boz.
All right.
There was a game that happened where it required a long, long travel down to Chanute, Kansas.
Yep.
And Nemaha Central got the dub 13-7 over a top five ranked team in class 4A.
4A.
4A. Dylan, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, man. I want to know about this game, my friend. You guys have a long travel back. You had a long drive down. But I believe some words that I saw was domination.
Absolutely. It started from the beginning. Good football game. NC gets the ball, start the game, take it all the way down to the 20-yard line. We stalled out. Levi Thomas kicks a 30-yard field goal right through the uprights, and Chanute gets the ball back, and they just stall them out. I mean, it's kind of the theme of the night was NC's defense is just suffocating.
Really?
Confused Chanute, didn't know what to do. The bread and butter plays weren't working, and, you know, those guys they're tough. They're legit. Very, very tough dudes. That was some hard, hard-hitting football. There's one point in the game, the run goes down the middle, Chanute's player, and he got hit, and that ball went flying backwards about 10 yards, about 15 feet up in the air. I mean, it was just a smash-mouth game. And, but, you know, NC gets the ball back the second drive, go all the way down. We stall out on the 31-yard line, and shout-out to Levi Thomas, man. Kicked a 41-yarder.
Wow.
41 yards through the upright. So NC goes up 6-0 at half, and, you know, Chanute's, I think they're a little wide-eyed coming out of halftime, and they look like they're ready to come back and do what they've done all year. And NC's defense said no. They shut them down again.
Man.
They get the ball back, and they march down the field, and we score a touchdown, and they go up 13-0.
Wow.
It wasn't until, I think, like the last 5 minutes, Chanute started airing it out big time, and, you know, they got a couple good plays, and were able to finally find the end zone. And you guys watch it, SCTV, watch that fourth quarter on that goal line stand. That running back went to running in from the 2-yard line, met our linebacker core, and he went flying backwards with his helmet. So it was a good football game. All those players, I mean, they were just, Chanute went 110%, NC went 110%. I mean, when you got guys puking on the field, they're giving it their all. So it was a good game all the way around. But, you know, Thunder defense dominated. Underclassmen really stepped up. That's something to be proud of. I mean, you know, we only started with three seniors to begin the year. And it's a tough loss when you lose Sam Mortis. I mean, that dude's a stud.
Sure.
And we lost him at Silver Lake. And I think we might have as many freshmen as seniors out there. I mean, It's saying something about coaching and what they're doing. So they're putting something together.
No doubt. Well, I got to just make this point for the listeners to know is that, again, it's not like this was, you know, a lot of times when you got an out-of-conference game, when you've got a non-league opponent, you know, you're playing, you know, Nemaha Central being a 2A school, you're playing maybe a 1A school or something like that. No, you're playing a 4A school. Not only that, ranked number 4 in 4A, was 3-0, dominating their opponents throughout this year, beating McPherson last week, doubling up their score. So this Nemaha Central team travels a long ways, Dylan, and you traveled with them. Tell me what you think the mindset was, you know, on a long travel like that, right in the smack dab middle of the season.
I think it was they had something to prove. They absolutely have something to prove. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I think they proved it tonight for sure.
I think they did. Hey, it's Leards and it's McPherson, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Come on, Dylan Kime, let's go.
And he doesn't know any better than you do.
Jake told me if I said that, he would give me an extra 5 more ads.
Oh, God. Well, unfortunately, yeah. You're breaking up, Dylan. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but now he doesn't want to talk.
We lost him.
Oh, man. Dylan, I'll tell you what, man. I appreciate you listening in the show, and I appreciate you calling in. Drive safe coming back.
Yeah, you bet. See you guys.
All right. Dylan Kime on the travel back. And, I mean, he did a great job breaking down that game for us.
Well, here's the thing. That's why we need people to call. That's why we want you to call in and give us the details. So you look at the score on the score sheet as I'm reading through it. 13-7 game. We got a game ball nominee on a caller that said Levi Thomas, 2 field goals. So I'm thinking, okay, a 13-7 game. Did he kick, you know, the 2 field goals?
Sure. Or was it a missed extra point?
Yeah. I mean, what happened with it? So, yeah, 30-yard field goal, 41-yard field goal.
Hey.
That's big time.
That is. That is. That's impressive is what that is. No doubt about it. And so, again, thank you, Dylan. Drive safe. All you Thunder fans listening in, drive safe coming back. Nemaha Central improves to 3-1 on the season, a 3-game winning streak. And
Watch out.
Got the Bears from Oskaloosa next week as they open up district play next week at home. We got a couple more recaps to get to before we get to our next break. We're a little behind schedule, and that's okay. It happens every week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
How about a game in the Twin Valley League? By the way, again, the phone number is 785-547-3461. The Giant Communications hotline is open for you. Give us a call, giantcomm.net. Bonds, what's better than free?
Whole lot of free.
Free times three. That's a free month of service, a free installation, and free month of managed Wi-Fi. Just go to giantcomm.net to learn more. And tell us about the game you were at. Give us a Luker Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominee all on the Giant Communications hotline tonight. So TVL action tonight. My goodness. On 92-1, Crendon Prophet in his young broadcast career in week number 4 of the 2024 season. Boss, thanks.
Oh, what a game.
I think he had the best game he's ever called before. It was Frankfurt at Hanover, and Hanover on a two-year losing streak to the Wildcats from Frankfurt, and this one came down to the wire.
Hello, everybody. This is Crendon Prophet down here at Hanover Field. Hanover won a total of 28-22. At one point, the game was tied 22-22. For Hanover was able to put it away in the fourth quarter, only allowing Frankfurt to have 20 seconds left to score before they shut them out. But let's talk a little deeper about the game. Frankfurt won the toss coming out of the game on their first drive. It was a 3-and-out, and on their second drive, it was a 3-and-out. In fact, the first 3 possessions for Frankfurt were 3-and-outs. Hanover, on the other hand, they got things ignited on their second drive. It is a 50-yard touchdown pass from Stahlbaumer, finding to Balin Mine. Balin Mine had a 50-yard touchdown reception from Stahlbaumer. Stahlbaumer, who also actually went down later in the game on the 7th position of Hanover, when he got a safety that made the score 22-16, which Frankfurt was able to tie with Lane Loizo's third touchdown of the game. So Lane Loizo also had 3 touchdowns for Frankfurt. Frankfurt struggled at the beginning but started to get things going in the second quarter. They were able to get only 2 points going in the third quarter. Going to the fourth, it was a 22-16 game. Both teams got a touchdown in the fourth quarter. It was Frankfurt who scored first to make it a 22-22 game, and then of course the final touchdown coming from Coher's third touchdown of the game is a 7-yard touchdown pass to Cameron Juneman. Hanover had a total of 10 possessions on the game, while the Frankfurt Wildcats only had 9 as they finished with the final possession of the game with only 20 seconds left, and they were not able to get the touchdown to tie the game to go into overtime and have a chance at the 2-point. Overall, is a 28-22 victory for Hanover. They took the win, and they will move on to not only 4-0 on the overall, but 3-0 in league play, whereas Frankfurt will drop to 3-1 in the overall. But that is your recap, 28-22, Hanover Wildcats win.
Big win there, Hanover, as Frankfurt, number 2 ranked in 8-man division, 2 falls to number 5 ranked Hanover tonight. As Crittenden just referenced right there, big time game in the Twin Valley League for league standings, for district standings. Man, it just makes all those games against Axel later in the year even more important now. On 93.7 FM tonight, Tom Couts, by the way, welcome Joseph down there at 93.7 FM. And Tom Couts had a great game tonight between Riverside at Marhill Mount Academy. We still haven't heard from Bob yet, but Riverside picks up another win tonight, 21-14 over MHMA. Tom, how did it sound tonight?
A big crowd at Guy Galley Field in Atchison, Kansas tonight saw the first district game and saw the homecoming 2024 game that pitted MHMA against Riverside. It was a contest that saw the teams go back and forth. Ravens broke out on top of the first offensive play of the game. Riverside came back to tie it. Morehill Mount Academy, on the last play of the opening half, took a lead into the locker room. And then, 2 second-half touchdowns by Riverside saw them score late and come away with a 21-14 win. For the Ravens, both touchdowns were Luke Siebert to Amari Shepard passes. For Riverside, all 3 touchdowns were Elijah Moore carrying the ball into the end zone. Ravens are 2-2 on the season now, and Riverside moves to 3-1. So again, Guy Galley Field, homecoming 2024 for the Ravens, but it was Riverside coming away with a come-from-behind win, 21-14. Tom Couch reporting for the MSC Sports Radio Network.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for that recap. One more recap to get to, and we've got to get to our next break. But again, just really good ball games all the way around here tonight. And this next one came from, you could have heard it on 96.9 KOZA, The Pulse, as Wade Gershner went over to St. Mary's as the Bears took on the Eagles tonight. And, oh, wow, what another amazing Big East game here tonight as St. Mary's looked poised to end a very long losing streak against Silver Lake, but the Eagles, they're still flying high.
It was a 2A District 3 opener for 2 state-ranked teams in Class 2A on Friday night in St. Mary's, as the third-ranked Bears fall to the fifth-ranked Silver Lake Eagles by a final of 26-20, a game that lived up to the hype. St. Mary scored on their first drive of the game on a 43-yard pass from Beatty Hurla to Corleon Holtz. But just 52 seconds later, on their second play from scrimmage, Silver Lake struck on a 68-yard pass from Dyson Schooler to Dane Johnson. Extra point good. Silver Lake led 7-6. After a drive that went 14 plays and stalled on downs at Silver Lake 12, Silver Lake eventually would take a 14-6 lead in the second quarter on an Allen Lee's 4-yard touchdown run. They'd go up 20-6 midway through the second on a 31-yard touchdown pass from Dyson Schooler to Brody Dieter, and Silver Lake led at the break 20-6. In the second half, St. Mary's, after being stopped on a 4th-and-1 in the first half, at a 4th-and-4 at the Silver Lake 12, but stopped 2 yards short, stopped on downs at the Silver Lake 10, but the St. Mary's defense held firm most of the rest of the way, as St. Mary's eventually put together a drive going 5 plays 56 yards to cut the deficit to 20-14 with a touchdown run from Brady Hurla from 10 yards out on the first play of the fourth quarter. Hurla had the 2-point conversion, and it was 20-14 Silver Lake. Then a weird drive in the game. St. Mary's started their own 11. They had a drop pass, but Silver Lake called for a late hit, unsportsmanlike conduct, 30 yards of penalties, had a 15-yard DPI later in the drive. But St. Mary's then had 2 holding penalties, 2 false starts, so there were 75 yards of penalties between the two teams on one drive alone. Eventually, St. Mary's had a 4th-and-38 at the Silver Lake 40, and they had to punt. After a 3-and-out, St. Mary's gets the ball back at the 50. They go 5 plays. Corleon Holtz, a 26-yard touchdown run. 2-point conversion failed, but St. Mary's tied the game with 2:18 to go at 20-all. Silver Lake had 2 minutes and 15 seconds to start their drive at their own 36, go 8 plays, 64 yards. 11-yard swing pass to Allen Lees, converted on 2nd-and-9, give him a little bit of breathing room. And then it was a 40-yard pass from Schooler to Dane Johnson, who laid out, dove, and caught it at the 1. Very next play, with 15 seconds remaining, Jaden Water, a 1-yard touchdown run, and Silver Lake beats St. Mary's for the 22nd consecutive time, this time with 15 seconds remaining. The key play, a 40-yard pass to Johnson from Schooler, and then Water, the 1-yard run, and the game winner of 15 seconds of play. Silver Lake wins 26-20 and improves a 3-1 overall, 1-0 in district play. St. Mary's Falls a 3-1, 0-1 in district play. Kaleon Holtz ran for 97 yards and a touchdown for St. Mary's. Brady Hurley threw for 211 yards, a touchdown, but did throw three interceptions, ran for 60 yards and a score. Howie Rizak had five catches, 96 yards. Silver Lake was led by Dyson Schooler, who threw for 239 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Dane Johnson, three catches, 121 yards, and a touch in that big play late in the game. 21 penalties for almost 200 yards combined between the two teams, but still couldn't put a damper on what was a great game between two state-ranked teams in a huge 2A District 3 opener that goes to Silver Lake as they continue their mastery of the Bears. Last time the Bears beat Silver Lake, got to go back to 2004. Your final score, Silver Lake 26, St. Mary's 20. Reporting for the Scoreboard Show, I'm Wade Gershner.
All right, Wade, thank you very much for that. We've got to get to our next break. When we come back, we'll give you scores that we've got. I think we've got them all now. And it's time to go into district explanations of what the ramifications are. It's week four coming to an end here on this beautiful Friday evening at 63 degrees outside. You're hanging out with Jake and Buzz here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
This is Alan Meyer, Senior Vice President and Business Development Officer at Community National Bank. As a proud Nemaha County native, I deeply understand the unique needs of our local communities. At CNB, we prioritize hometown values and personalized service. Trust us to be your financial partner committed to supporting your dreams and the growth of our community. Stop by and visit with me. And welcome home to Community National Bank.
FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
The turf free does not come around very often. Now's the time for you to take advantage of free times three with Giant Communications. Did you know you can sign up for internet right now with Giant Communications for free? That's right, free times three. It's the promotion running right now for free installation, free month of service, and a free month of managed Wi-Fi. Call them today at 785-362-9331 or go to the website at GiantCom, that's GiantCOMM.net, to see if you qualify. It's the free times three promotion going on right now with Giant Communications.
Imagine what would happen if you went on vacation without packing bags or making reservations. Now imagine what would happen if you didn't prepare for retirement. At Edward Jones, we believe everyone can be prepared for retirement. That's why we strongly encourage you to open and contribute to an Edward Jones IRA. If you have an IRA elsewhere, it's easy to transfer to Edward Jones and begin receiving the face-to-face advice you deserve. To open an Edward Jones IRA, contact myself, Jeff Russell in Sabetha, Shannon Wright in Holton, or Brad Edwards in Hiawatha. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Natty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Natty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
MCON is a full-service construction company specializing in excavating and underground utility work as well as conservation and tile projects. MCON recently received the Safety Excellence Award, offering turnkey services for water and sewer projects. MCON has delivered results throughout the Midwest with knowledge and experience as a family-owned local business in Wathena. MCON is also always looking to add to their 90-plus member team. Contact MCON in Wathena or visit MCONUnderground.com.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You want to bank on your time, at your convenience? At GN Bank, our technology gives you banking access anytime, anywhere, and features online, mobile, and voice banking. Need to deposit a check? Use our easy and secure mobile deposit. We also tailor banking solutions for business customers. Terms and conditions apply. GN Bank, the best place to bank and borrow. GN Bank in Hiawatha, Holton, Horton, and Wetmore. Come see us and let us give you our best. GN-Bank.com.
All right, Boz. You ready to get into this next segment?
Come on, let's go.
You're hanging out with Jake and Boz here on the Community National Bank Local High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. You're either listening to it on 103.9 KMZA Hiawatha, 92.1 KMZA Seneca, or on 93.7 FM KAIR in Atchison. Shout out to you. Good evening to you, Joseph Curry, down there at Care Country Studios. I'm Jake. That's Boz.
Hey.
There we go. Paying attention. Appreciate that.
I'm always paying attention.
How about some scores, buddy?
All right. Hey, we got every score, so we appreciate people calling in, giving us all the good stuff for tonight. Lincoln, they get the win against Washington County 50-0. Clifton Clyde, they defeated Lakeside Downs 56-6. Axtell gets the win over Blue Valley 64-8. Hanover gets the win over Frankfort in a close one, a barn burner, 28-22. Lynn gets the win against Thunder Ridge, 39-16. Rossville, there was a forfeit situation tonight against Maranatha,
right?
So they technically get the win. Onega, last score we needed, they defeated Valley Falls tonight, 38-6. Onega improves to 2-2.
Buffalo
on the season. That's right. Jackson Heights, another just this team. It's just we need to go back and look and see what they are outscoring their opponents by, because.
They've only given up one touchdown all year.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
They've been shutting people out. They win tonight over McLeod 57-0. Jeff County North gets a big win tonight over Pleasant Ridge 26-6. Centralia, they get the victory against Donovan West 58-14. Troy gets the win against Horton 44-16.
Charges,
that's right. Riverside, comeback win. They defeat Mar Hill, Mount Academy 21-14.
What about for the Cyclones? We just need to go like
Let's not.
Okay, I just was asking.
We gotta figure out something else.
Okay, all right.
Valley Heights, they get the win over Sacred Heart, 32-16. Council Grove, they defeated Riley County tonight. Council Grove 3-0, Riley County 3-0, but Council Grove gets the win, 34-13. Silver Lake gets the win over St. Mary's. Another just a heck of a ball game tonight.
22 straight years.
Well, you think, I mean, St. Mary's, well, I don't know, maybe they didn't play. I don't have to go back, because St. Mary's won state here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They've had really good football
teams. Yeah, but they've been in different classifications most years. So this year, same class.
Yeah. So big win for Silver Lake tonight. Gets the victory over St. Mary's, 26-20. Sabetha, another one-point victory this season for them. It's a win's a win.
Don't matter how you get it.
Sabetha beats Royal Valley 7-6. ACCHS, offense.
The Tigers.
Just rolling tonight. ACCHS defeats Oskaloosa 60-0.
Whew.
Hiawatha gets a shutout win for their first of the season, 21-0.
There you go.
Zero over Jeff West. Holton gets the win against Perry LeCompton 33-14.
Mm-hmm.
And Atchison defeats.
The Phoenix!
They defeated KC Schlegel tonight 49-8. And Nemaha Central.
Hey, Thunder.
Thunder's rolling.
Mm.
They beat Chanute 13-7.
You asked about the Cobras?
Yes.
You wanted to know, they're outscoring their opponents total this year 200-7.
200-7.
200-7.
That's pretty good.
Consistent. Only touchdown was in week one against the Cyclones at Riverside. That was a ball game, too, in the third quarter. We won 12-7 at that time in the third quarter. And, so those are the scores for this evening. And there's a lot to get through, but we've got somebody on the Giant Communications hotline once again, GiantCOMM.net. Boz, what's better than free?
A whole lot of free.
Free times three, and you can get free installation, free month of service, and a free month of managed Wi-Fi. Just go to GiantCOMM.net. I actually played in a golf tournament today with Giant Communications, and you were supposed to be on that team.
I was supposed to.
And then some work things came up for you.
I had to work.
I was actually scheduled to play on a different team. It was a great fundraiser for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Topeka, and the Pulse. We had a connection down there. We were playing with our local networking group down there. Anyway, we shifted some things around, and I shifted myself over to the Giant Communications team, and we won the tournament. We shot 20 under, and
I don't. Oh, we got somebody on the hotline right now, and I just gotta say, man, my putter was lights out today.
Okay.
And the guys from Giant, maybe I don't know, maybe they made a comment that I don't think we would have had that if Boz would have played with us, but
They don't even know what they're talking about.
Grandpa Gary, good evening to you.
Hey, 20 under? Are you kidding?
Yes, sir. It was pretty good. It was a good day, man. It was a good day.
Yeah.
Putter was good.
What's that?
I said, hey, Jake. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Good evening to you, Grandpa. Now, tell me, the Chargers got a win tonight, and I saw a Facebook comment from you that you have some statistics for us.
I do. I would say that the Chargers dominated Buzzard Ridge tonight.
Okay, all right.
Anyway,
how about some stats? What do you got for us, Grandpa Gary?
I got Will Elias, he's going to be my nominee again this week. He had 12 rushes for 141 yards. That's 11.75 yards per carry. And that was with two TDs. And he had 78 yards passing with one TD.
Wow.
Passing. So he had a great night, as well as the rest of the team, too. Merrick Noel had a lot of runs. I didn't get his stats, but.
But Elias, you said 78 yards?
That was passing.
Passing, yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that Boz is writing everything down as quick as he can, but, you know.
Yeah. 12 rushes for 141 yards.
At his ripe age right now, Grandpa Gary, his hands don't work as good as they used to, so.
Jake's on fire tonight. I don't know what he's doing.
12 rushes, 141. Let me take it real slow. 141 yards.
I got you.
Two rushing TDs. 78 passing with one TD.
I even got your 11.75 yards per carry, Grandpa.
Hey.
There you go, yeah.
I'm riding fast.
All right. Three well, what stuck out for you tonight, Grandpa? You said that the Chargers dominated tonight, and Will Elias had a great game. What stuck out with you?
Actually, our defense, because we held them to, I think they got their 6 points early, and then we just dominated their offense with our defense. That was, I think, the thing, besides how good we obviously with scoring 26 points, our offense did well, but our defense really held them. I'm not sure how many yards total they had, but I didn't get that stat from my guy.
Well, I'm glad that you got a guy now, though. That way we can always rely on you to give us the would you call it official stats?
Yeah, I would say so, because he keeps the stats for the team.
All right. Okay. So we'll call those the official stats tonight for Will Elias from the Chargers. All right, Grandpa, we ask you this every single week. You see an improvement on your favorite team.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be your silent team, I think, this year. They're learning a lot. They've come off of last year where we went to state, but they've got a good team this year, and they're going to be – I think we'll be surprised how they end up. They got a tough game next week, I think, with Onega. I didn't hear their score tonight. But, oh, that was
– They won pretty big tonight.
Did they play
– They played at Valley Falls. They defeated Valley Falls 38-6 tonight.
Yeah. We haven't played either one of them two yet, but I think we play – Onega next week. So.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
Yeah, you guys got Onega at home next week, then at Valley Falls, at McClouth, and then at home.
I think aren't we at Onega next week?
I got it at home is what I'm showing on my side of things.
Well, good. I don't have to travel so far.
Well, hey, Grandpa, you're going to root for the Cats tomorrow against the Pokes?
Oh, yeah. I got my grandson that was a senior last year, Ethan Knoll, that did so well. Goes to K-State as well as three or four other guys from the team.
All right. Nice. Well, root on the Cats tomorrow, and we'll chat with you next Friday, all right? Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Thanks, Grandpa Gary from the Jefferson County North.
Chargers.
The Chargers, as he gets some nominations in there, Will Elias. Boz, give us our Luca Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominees, because I feel like the list is growing.
The list is growing. So here's the deal. I write down all these nominees, and I am really close to having to get a second page going here. So awesome job calling in the nominees. So here's what we got so far from Hiawatha. We've got nominees for Ethan Morton and Connor Kettler. Don't have any official stats there, but those guys had good games tonight for Hiawatha in their win. from Holton, Bodie Dillon. He had a kickoff return for a touchdown tonight. He had another kickoff return that he took down to the 5-yard line. He also had 65 rushing yards and a touchdown in their win over Perry LeCompton. So good night for Bodie Dillon from Holton.
For sure.
From Nemaha Central. Talked about it a little while ago with the caller, Levi Thomas.
Yes.
Young man knocks in 2 field goals tonight.
Impressive.
A 13-7 win for Nemaha Central. 30-yard field goal, 41-yard field goal. If he doesn't make those, different ball game.
Completely.
So big-time game, clutch performance from Levi Thomas. From ACCHS, Cannon Crossland. He had 150 yards rushing tonight with 4 touchdowns.
Count them. One, two, three, four.
From Jackson Heights, again, we talked about this team just on a roll. We got 3 nominees, all worthy.
Okay.
Titus Eisenbarth, he had 9 rushes tonight for 97 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Ooh, count them.
One, two, three, four. Drake Mellies, he had 9 rushes, 109 yards with 2 touchdowns. Also had, he was 6-for-10 passing for 122 yards and a touchdown.
Jeez.
So 3 total touchdowns from Drake Mellies tonight. And also Cade Holiday, he had 81 yards rushing.
Yeah.
On 4
attempts. Oh, 20 yards a carry.
That boy had a good night. So really good performances from the Jackson Heights boys. From Nemaha Central, Carter Hike.
Hike.
23 carries, 125 yards, 1 touchdown. Also had 40 yards passing tonight in their big win over Chanute. And then just heard from Grandpa Gary from J.C. and Will Elias. 12 rushes, 141 yards, 11.75 yards per carry.
Okay.
With 2 touchdowns. Also had 78 yards passing tonight.
Man, you're going to have a tough job tonight, dude.
Hey, was it like a little foreshadowing at the beginning?
Maybe.
I told you. Got a whole lot of good games tonight, a lot of good performances, so I don't know. We'll see.
If you haven't heard somebody that you want to be on that Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominee list, give us a call at 785-547-3461. The Giant Communications Hotline is open for you to give us your nominee. Again, we've got all the scores, but if you went to a game tonight that was a great matchup, I'm shocked that we have not heard from Bob yet from Riverside, because the quote she gave us, as long as the boys keep winning, I'll keep calling.
I don't.
And so, anyway, Riverside, a big win tonight. So, we'll see if Bob gives us a shout. But you can give us a call and talk about the game that you were at tonight as well. Make sure that you give all the love to your favorite team and how they did here this evening. Boz, we've got our matchups that we had for this week. Buddy, there was too many good games.
Yeah.
And when you've got too many good games, it's tough to be at one without keeping tabs on the others.
Well,
yeah.
It just makes it really hard. And then, you know, I think people know we go to a game, we got to leave around halftime, make it back to the studio. So then you got to consider travel time and can we get there? Can we see enough of the game and make it back? And, man, there was a lot of good games.
So what we ended up doing was we had, what, 5 screens, 6 screens total? Streaming radio games, channel games, having all sorts of avenues to listen into the games that we thought would be the marquee games this week, and that was St. Mary's, Silver Lake, Perry, Roll Valley, Jackson Heights, McClouth, and I said Perry Roll Valley, I'm sorry, Sabetha Roll Valley, and then Frankfort Hanover. Those were the games that we were focusing in on, And, buddy, we got to take in pretty much the majority of every single one of those games here tonight. And of those 4, there was 2 that came right down to the wire.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're such good teams. I mean, first off, let's go real quick. Jackson Heights, McClouth. That was a game. McClouth, they were on my list as far as a team that I would pick for a dark horse.
Sure.
2-0, Jackson Heights 2-0.
3-0.
Or, excuse me, 3-0. Jackson Heights just absolutely dominated. I mean, every team they've faced, they've just completely destroyed. So that was, we saw that game, and Jackson Heights just kind of had their way, whatever they want to do. But then Silver Lake, St. Mary's, you know, we talked about Silver Lake last week being kind of up and down, and I don't even know that maybe that was fair. I mean, they are a really good football team playing St. Mary's 3-0. St. Mary's is a very good football team. I talked to a a guy last week and asked him if St. Mary's was the real deal. I mean, are they that good? And he said, yeah, absolutely. They're a good football team. Silver Lake takes them down to the wire, gets the win tonight. Big time game for them. So Bethel Royal Valley, we talked about this. We've talked a lot about Royal Valley being one of the better teams that maybe they've had for a while. And Sabetha hangs on, gets the one-point win tonight. Sabetha, they just took care of business. Maybe it wasn't pretty, but they got the win tonight against Royal Valley, against a good Royal Valley team. And then Frankfurt-Hanover, come on.
Yeah.
That was one that, honestly, if we could have maybe picked a game to travel to,
yeah,
that would have been a really good one. Because I'm a fan of Frankfurt and the teams they've had, but
the
Hanover.
Fighting Wes Anderson.
tough, maybe tough road for him tonight, but Hanover's legit. That's a team I think.
Look out.
You knock off Frankfurt, number two ranked.
Yep.
Big time win for Hanover. Just those four games tonight were fantastic.
And there was one game that didn't make the list because, again, when we're looking at these contests, man, we're going based off of what we think, right?
Yeah.
And there was one game that turned out to be an amazing game tonight, and that was Riverside and Marhill Mounts Academy. Back and forth, as Tom said in his recap, in a comeback effort, the Cyclones get the win. And you know who we've got on the Giant Communications hotline right now, Boz?
Didn't let us down.
We got Bob on the line. It's like you got called out.
What's up, boys? What's up, boys?
People were probably calling you saying, yeah, hey, you better get on the phone.
Oh, my gosh. They said you were throwing shade at me, calling me out. I've got my phone blowing up. I got my brother calling me. I got my sister calling me. I got my friends texting me. I'm like, okay, let me finish my Sonic and I'll call.
Hey, you can't let us down.
That's right, Bob.
Right, right.
What happened tonight?
Talk to us.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I thought I jinxed us by saying that nobody picked us last week and then everybody picked us this week. And I was so mad at myself. I'm like, I shouldn't have said a word about it. But long story short, the MVPs were the refs. They had 200 yards tonight. Felt like about 15 on 11 out there. But Elijah Moore was back this week. He ran for 3 touchdowns. He ran hard. He ran well. Our offensive line played well. Mason Hayes and Beckham also, we just ran the ball really well. Our defense was good the whole night too. So solid win. I did not expect it to be that close, but
you'll take a win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Holy cow. That place was nuts tonight.
It was a great game. We listened a little bit of it on 93.7 FM KAIR. Tom Couts on the call for that. A big-time win for the Cyclones. You guys now will go back home and take on Horton next week. But that's 3 straight wins rattled off by the Clones, Bob. And are you seeing a good trend right now?
Absolutely. I see it on the field. I see our team coming together. I mean, a couple of years ago, we'd have a penalty flag and we'd be fighting amongst ourselves. I saw guys tonight getting to each other, helping each other out, giving high fives. Like, we're not talking back. They're the ones talking. Keep your mouth shut. Let's be a team. Let's have a class act. And it's just a whole different ballgame, and I love it.
That's
changing
awesome.
The culture around here. So
love to hear that, Bob, and love to hear the passion from you about that as well. Riverside now 1-0 in district action. In the district with them, Centralia, Marahill, Troy, Horton, and Donovan West, which means that crash course right now, as it seems, Bob, to that last game of the regular season at home against yep. Centralia. So, all right. Well, hey, I hope you enjoyed your Sonic. What'd you get?
The new Smash Burger.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. How embarrassing.
Hey, if you bring stuff up live on radio, Bob, it's going to be brought back up. I'm just saying.
I already know.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in as always, and congrats on a good win. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye. That's Bob from Riverside. And she had to get her Sonic first, Bob.
Of course.
Boz. I just called you Bob.
Yes, you can't do that.
Bob. Bob just got Sonic.
Well, you got to get after the football game. You hungry and gotta go stop and get some food.
All right. Our Luca Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees just got extended a little bit, and we got, you know, some more additions to it. So if you didn't hear somebody that you want on that list, again, give us a call. Giant Communications Hotline is open for you right now. That is 785-547-3461. We got another timeout. When we come back, we're going to be talking districts, standings as they are right now, next week's matchups that we're looking forward to. In week number five, Boz, the season now is officially halfway home for the regular season. We got to get a timeout. We come back here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz. Good evening.
This is Alan Meyer, Senior Vice President and Business Development Officer at Community National Bank. As a proud Nemaha County native, I deeply understand the unique needs of our local communities. At CNB, we prioritize hometown values and personalized service. Trust us to be your financial partner, committed to supporting your dreams and the growth of our community. Stop by and visit with me. Welcome home to Community National Bank.
Equal housing lender.
Corn production has changed dramatically over the years. Recently, the hot topics surrounding profitability are plant health and spoon-feeding nitrogen. Coron, a controlled-release liquid nitrogen, is quickly absorbed into the plant and then slowly released over a period of 3 to 4 weeks. Coron can be applied with your post-herbicide application to give your corn plants the boost of energy they need while determining ear size and growing roots to reach previously applied soil fertilizers. Contact your local Helena salesman to see how Coron can positively affect your return on investment.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Farmers, it's go season, and Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, is as ready as you are. To ensure this harvest season goes smoothly, their team of technicians is working extra hours to reduce downtime and get you back in the fields, because Bruna Implement was built by farmers for farmers. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer in Washington, Marysville, Clay Center, Seneca, Hiawatha, and Humboldt, Nebraska, wishing you a safe and prosperous harvest.
It's true. Many of us spend more time thinking about our next vacation than we do preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. Hi, this is Brad Edwards with the Edward Jones in Hiawatha. Together, we can give your long-term strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by my office here in Hiawatha, Shannon Wright in Holton, or Jeff Russell in Sabetha. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
The term free does not come around very often. Now's the time for you to take advantage of free times three with Giant Communications. Did you know you can sign up for internet right now with Giant Communications for free? That's right, free times three. It's the promotion running right now for free installation, free month of service, and a free month of managed Wi-Fi. Call them today at 785-362-9331 or go to the website at GiantCom, that's GiantCOMM.net, to see if you qualify. It's the free times three promotion going on right now with Giant Communications.
Denison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
When you see those commercials on TV from the big global banks, remember, they don't give a hoot about you or us here in Kansas. Instead, when you bank in your hometown, your money stays in the local economy and it recirculates many times over.
Denison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, Boz, it's time for our next segment where we get to talk about districts, how they look right now, and how next week is getting even more important for these high school teams. No doubt about it. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz on a Friday. It's the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Radio Network. We're glad that you're hanging out with us, and you can't always be in our terrestrial area where you can listen live on the radio, but you got options with the MSC Radio app. Just go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store on your phone. or tablet and download the MSC Radio app. That way you can take the MSC Radio Network anywhere with you. Click on any of our six radio stations and listen in to things just like this, the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show, from wherever you're at. We know we've got a ton of people across the state and outside of the state listening in right now as well, Buzz.
Yeah, we got, well, actually, a friend of mine, Jason Hike, Nemaha Central guy. You might heard us talk about Carter Hike, Hut Hike. He's actually, they were down in Chanute tonight. Heard he's staying down there. His son Cooper, we've talked a lot about Cooper Hike.
Yep.
A couple years ago. He's playing at Butler right now, so Jason's going to go catch the Butler game tomorrow, but he's listening to the show tonight.
All right. So make sure you just let your neighbors and friends and family know that, yeah, you don't have to live here in Northeast Kansas. If you've got a road trip or somebody outside that want to get some inside information on what's going on, hey, we're the local sports authority here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. So give them the app, or you can always stream online at msccsports.net. As well. Well, this next week, Boz, is really crucial just because every week at this point, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but every week at this point is crucial.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Absolutely.
District action has begun. This was the first week of it, and there's a whole new playoff structure this year. It's similar now to 4, 5, and 6A. So how it's worked in the past is, you know, you've got district champions. They're going to play the team that's the fourth place in their district from, we'll say, districts 1 and 2. They pair up, right?
Yep.
Not the case anymore. It's still important to play well in district play.
Yeah.
It's very important for you to win your district or to finish in the top two. But after district play is done, you're going to be put into basically a pod of 1 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12. Yeah, is that math good? 13 through 16. So if you win your district, you'll be in the top four in the state on the east side.
Yep.
Then they're going to look at overall record and then seed you. So, you know, let's look at Rossville as a prime example in Class 1A. Rossville, you know, fully expect for them to probably win their district. They got a forfeit win tonight because Maranatha couldn't play, but they're 1-3 overall because they lost their first three games.
Yeah.
So if they win their district in District 2, and they go 5-0, we'll just say, for you know, conversation purpose, and they're going to be 5-3 overall, they're likely to be the fourth seed in the postseason because of their overall record.
Yeah.
And then it just turns into bracket play, and it was actually explained very nicely on my coach's show earlier this week with Caleb Wick from Jackson Heights. He said, think of it like March Madness.
Yeah.
And you got your 1 through 16, and then everybody just breaks it down, and you know, you keep advancing. But the big key with this new change is the highest seed will host the game no matter what.
All the way through?
There's no more east travels west, west traveling east on the, you know, if the moon sets or comes up at this time of the day, then you potentially could be on the road and you got to take. I mean, you remember the days you're looking at a map and you're putting up a ruler and drawing a straight line to figure out who's further east or west?
Yep.
It's gone.
I love it.
The highest seed, no matter what, will host in the postseason, which, again, it just puts so much on not only your district games, but what you did the first 3 weeks or your non-conference schedule is extremely important as well.
Well, we've heard that. You know, you talk about non-league games not meaning a whole lot on paper. Well, they do if you get down to that point where they look at your overall record. So your body of work is still important.
So, again, districts, excuse me, for our area that we're keeping our eyes on in Class 3A will be District 4 in Class 3A. It's got Holton, Hiawatha, Jeff West, as well as Perry LeCompton in Class 3A. But that's it in Class 3A for our area. And after tonight, Holton 1-0 in district. Hayden did not have a district game tonight. Hiawatha also 1-0 in district. So Hiawatha is sitting there in second right now in district play. Then you've got Hayden, who did not play this week, and then Perry LeCompton, followed by Jeff West in Class 3A district. District in Class 2A, a little bit more expanded for where we're keeping our eyes on. District 3 in Class 2A. Man, this might be maybe one of the toughest districts in the state. I don't know how you want to classify it. Council Grove, Osage City, St. Mary's, Silver Lake, Riley County, every single team is at least 3-1 overall.
That is a stacked district.
Council Grove got a big win tonight against Riley County. You heard Silver Lake beat St. Mary's. So Riley County 3-1, Silver Lake 3-1, St. Mary's 3-1 overall. And Osage City non-district game tonight for the Indians. So in District 3 in Class 2A, again, your overall record is going to be extremely important for who comes out at what mark in the district standings there.
Yeah.
District 4, you've got Sabetha sitting on the top of that district right now with a 3-1 overall record. Nemaw Central, non-district game tonight against Nemaw, or against Chanute, improved to 3-1. But Atchison County Community High School, second right now in the district with their big win tonight against the Bears from Oskaloosa. Nemaw Central sitting third with no record in district play, but they are 3-1 overall. And then you've got Roll Valley, 0-1 in district, 2-2 overall, and Oskaloosa, 2-2 overall, 0-1 in district as well. How about 1A, Boz? 1A is where we've got the most teams in our area. Rossville, as mentioned, in District 2. They're in the same district as Mission Valley, Olpe, Waubunsee, Caperville, Maranatha. Rossville, again, on paper, on every, I don't care about their overall record.
No.
They're going to win this district.
Yeah.
They will come out 5-3 overall. They will win that district. District 3, Jackson Heights, JCN, McLouth, Onega, Pea Ridge, Valley Falls. The Cobras, 4-0 overall, 1-0 in district play. JCN, they're 3-1. And 1-0 in district play. McLouth, 0-1. Onega, big win against Valley Falls tonight as well. Your top three in that district. District 4, we just talked to Bob a minute ago on the phone, Boz.
Yep.
And, again, we don't want to put the cart before the horse.
No.
Because you still got the Troy Trojans hanging out right there.
Yep.
You got the Horton Chargers hanging out right there. But Centralia, 1-0 in district. They beat Donovan West tonight. 3-1 overall record for the Panthers. Marhill Mount Academy, they fell to the Cyclones of Riverside. So Riverside 3-1 overall, 1-0 in districts here tonight. Troy defeats Horton. So Troy is currently third, I believe. Yeah, third in district right now as well. And then you've got Marhill, Horton, and Donovan West. And then we go to District 5 on the western side, Boz. Valley Heights. The Mustangs, 1-0 in district, picked up a big win tonight. 3-1 overall. They're with Republic County, Harrington, Bennington, and Sacred Heart. Got your breath caught yet?
Just keep on going. Keep on going.
Hot dang, buddy. In 8-man Division 1, we've just got Clifton Clyde in Washington County. Clifton Clyde, 1-0 as they get a big win tonight. 2-2 overall in their district number 4 here on the east side. Washington County, they fell tonight. They're 0-1 in district play, 0-4 overall. And then 8-man division number 2. This district is the one to watch, I think.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
In 8-man specifically. But, I mean, my goodness, Axtell tonight dismantling their opponent, 4-0 overall, 1-0 in district play. But Hanover gets a big win over Frankfort to go to 1-0 in district, 4-0 overall. Then Wakefield and Frankfort 0-1. I mean, these games for, you know, Axtell-Hanover coming up in a couple weeks, and then Axtell-Frankfort in week 8.
Yeah.
Those are going to be deciding matchups.
Yep, they will for sure.
So as we just went through the districts really quickly, Boz, and we went over the new format of how the postseason is going to work, what sticks out to you the most?
Well, I think the new format, I love it. I really like it because in the past you'd always had teams that seemed like that would be in the same district. They get out of district play, and then they face that same team again. They're just knocking each other out. And we got so many good quality football teams in Northeast Kansas. I always hated to see them beat each other out early, you know. I think when they're spread out like this, it's going to give them an opportunity to potentially meet farther down the road. And I love that because I think it just, not that it means a lot more, but when it's a quarterfinal game or a semifinal game, that's a big deal. And I think the teams in our area, they deserve to be that far down the end of the bracket.
Yeah, because a lot of times it was the sectional round before you got pretty much out of your district area before you would play a different opponent. That could be in week one of the postseason now.
Yeah.
That could be week number nine, first round of the playoffs, could be a matchup where a Northeast Kansas team is playing a Southeast Kansas team with the new format. And I would agree. I think that this has been a long time coming. I think a lot of people were excited for this change. I know that even some of the coaches, you go back and listen to the coaches' shows this week. I know a couple of them talked about it this week with me. Not everybody knew that this was officially coming down the line this year.
Yeah, I think there was talk, but nothing definite.
And once it became a for sure thing, I think everybody's excited. A lot of talk of it's better than what we've had. It might not be perfect,
sure,
but it's better than what we've had. And there's a few districts, man, that I think local teams are going to benefit from this because of how tough their district is.
Yeah, you've got really good football teams that are going to be more spread out throughout the bracket, have an opportunity to make it further into the playoffs instead of having to meet the same teams they just played in districts.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be seeing, you know, a potential sectional round game between, we'll say, like a St. Mary's Silver Lake or Sabetha Nemaha could be a sub-state like it's been in years past. That's just, thankfully, that's how that shook up.
Yes.
Right? But you had to have some upsets happen to make that, to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Well, if Sabetha Nemaha go 1-2 in their district, again, these are just examples for conversation's sake, it's very unlikely that they'll see each other within the first 2 weeks of the playoffs as a result.
Yep.
And so that's, again, where I think the excitement level comes from. And again, it might not be perfect. It's never been done before in 1-2-3A and 8-man, but it's been done in 4-5-6. And it seems like the reference that was given to me earlier this week was, look at Bishop Miege every single year.
Yeah.
That's a team that was maybe 4-5 in the regular season, or 4-4 or 3-5. And they go out and they win a state title with 5 losses.
Yeah.
That's because they play a tough schedule and they have a tough area that they're in.
Yeah.
Your district might be extremely tough.
Yep.
But I'll tell you, if you make it to the postseason, this new format will allow for games to maybe be a little bit more in your favor down the road.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan. I'm anxious to see how this plays out, and I think people are going to like it.
All right. So next week, week 5, big matchups coming up. Who are we looking at for next week?
Well, it's kind of in that point in the season where all the games are important. So, you know, kind of looking at games where we could have some implications on, you know, just some league stuff, some district stuff. One of the ones that stood out early on when we were doing our prep work, and again, we do this all before tonight. So we're basing off, you know, potential records. But, you know, we'd highlighted Perry Royal Valley.
Sure.
And I think I'm with you on Royal Valley. I think this is one of the better teams they've had in the recent past. They've had some close games. Tough one tonight against Sabetha, but you've got a Perry team that's had some really close games. They had a big win early. They're 1-3, but they're going to face a 2-2 Royal Valley team.
Yeah.
Man, if you're Royal Valley, I think you feel maybe like you're on the precipice, like you're so close to breaking through. They just need a big win, and this could be a really good confidence booster, momentum builder for Royal Valley in that game.
It's a non-district game. It's just a Big East game between these two, because Royal Valley, you know, in 2A, Perry's in 3A, and so, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody district-wise, but this is that style of game where you're looking at overall record for potential when it comes to seeding.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, it's going to be interesting because I think both teams, I think Perry probably looks at their record right now at 1-3 thinking, wow, we could be better. We could easily be much better than our record shows right now. You could probably flip-flop that.
Yeah, I very much would agree.
Yeah, so Perry's right there, Royal Valley's there. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, and the team that gets that win, I think that's going to be a little shot in the arm for them.
Shot in the arm, and definitely a team to keep your eye on as the next weeks unfold. How about our second matchup? Because we usually pick 5.
We've 5.
We've got 2.
We got 2, and doesn't mean there's not a lot of good games out there still.
Sure.
But when we were looking at these, this was a big matchup that predicated on what happened tonight.
And I think I still think it's a massive matchup.
Yes.
It may be even more so because a team doesn't want to get their second loss.
Exactly. Well, you look at the new Big East, you're looking at league title implications. So when we first were talking about it, Riley County versus St. Mary's. Riley County played Council Grove tonight. Council Grove got the win. So if Riley County would have beat Council Grove, they would go into next week 4-0.
Sure.
St. Mary's took on Silver Lake tonight. If they beat Silver Lake, they're 4-0. So that's a huge matchup, two 4-0 teams. That didn't happen.
Right.
Neither team got the win tonight, but they're still both 3-1. I mean, this is a huge game. I think these are two really good football teams.
Yeah.
So that's a big game for them next week.
And here's the thing. They're both 0-1 in district now as well.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to get that second loss, not only overall, but in district play as well, because they're in 2A District 3, and we talked about how that might be the most loaded district in the state when every single team is at least 3-1 in that five-team district of Council Grove, Osage City, St. Mary's, Silver Lake, Riley County, because only four teams can go to the postseason. One team's going to be left out of that district.
Out of that group, and I it's a coin toss. Honestly,
you don't know.
No, they're well. You look at Silver Lake, 3-1 overall right now.
Yeah.
Riley County at 0-1 in district, losing to Council Grove, who's in first.
Yeah.
And Riley County is a good football team. I'm just that's going to be a big game. Big game.
So those are our two for next week. Again, not that there's other games that are not of big importance by any stretch, but those are the two that we're definitely keeping our eyes on that we might pop into next week as our game of the week here for Jake and Boz on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. We got one more timeout to get to. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to give away our Luker Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball. We're going to give that away next. We're also going to talk about big-time collegiate games this weekend, professional. How about Benedictine and Baker is this weekend? And by the way, the Royals are going to the playoffs.
Let's go.
We'll be talking a little bit about the Yowls coming up here. Final segment on the way here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. Thanks for spending your Friday evening with us. We're back after this.
This is Alan Meyer, Senior Vice President and Business Development Officer at Community National Bank. As a proud Nemaha County native, I deeply understand the unique needs of our local communities. At CNB, we prioritize hometown values and personalized service. Trust us to be your financial partner committed to supporting your dreams and the growth of our community. Stop by and visit with me. Welcome home to Community National Bank.
Equal Housing Lender.
MCON is a full-service construction company specializing in excavating and underground utility work as well as conservation and tile projects. MCON recently received the Safety Excellence Award, offering turnkey services for water and sewer projects. MCON has delivered results throughout the Midwest with knowledge and experience as a family-owned local business in Wathena. MCON is also always looking to add to their 90-plus member team. Contact MCON in Wathena or visit MCON Underground.
Knotty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEP. Knotty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
Hello, this is Dr. Brett Luker from Luker Chiropractic and Wellness. Pain is never normal, and if you are in pain, that is your body's way of telling you that something is not right. We have a 95% satisfaction rate treating neck pain, back pain, and headaches. The main reason we get the great results that we do is we emphasize teamwork between doctor and patient and place an emphasis on correcting the problems rather than managing them. Remember, pain is not normal, and if you are experiencing any of these conditions, our team at Luker Chiropractic and Wellness is very successful treating them. Call us today at 284-0088.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent, at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The term free does not come around very often. Now is the time for you to take advantage of free times three with Giant Communications. Did you know you can sign up for internet right now with Giant Communications for free? That's right, free times three. It's the promotion running right now for free installation, free month of service, and a free month of managed Wi-Fi. Call them today at 785-362-9331 or go to the website at GiantCom, that's GiantCOMM.net, to see if you qualify. It's the free times three promotion going on right now with Giant Communications.
This is Dorsey Hall, CEO at Community National Bank. You're listening to Community National Bank High School School Board Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thank you, Dorsey, as always, here for bringing us back in for our final segment here this evening, Boz, as we've got just a little bit of things to finish up here.
Okay.
Before we get to the weekend and get the listeners back on to their Friday evening. I know we've got some people already tailgating. I wouldn't say tailgating, but they're in the parking lots for a lot of family weekend adventures going on at Benedictine tonight tuning in. And they've got a big game tomorrow against Baker. We'll dive into that in just a minute. But before we get into that, I want to give some love to the Royals.
Okay.
You okay with that?
I'm good.
A team that last year was... Well, first off, they have not been to the postseason, Boz, since they won the World Series in 2015, first off.
Yeah.
So when you look at a team that is on the mountaintop of mountaintops, and then they just cannot figure it out for a decade.
Not good.
It felt like, oh, Lord, here we go again. Right?
Watching you scroll through this, and I guess I didn't even realize it. How many losses did they have last year?
So last year the Royals go 56-106.
Whew.
Okay. They lose over 100 games a season ago. This year, they lock up a playoff spot, and they do it going through the back door, though.
Okay.
Their magic number was 1, so they had to either win a game or the Twins needed to lose a game. They lost tonight, did the Royals, but so did the Minnesota Twins, allowing the Royals to slide into the postseason. A team that has had 2 7-game losing streaks since August 28th. You've lost 14 games in a month.
Yep.
And you're still in the postseason. Count your blessings.
That's right.
Royals fans.
Take it.
But you'll take it. That was a team that was 17 games above 500 before their first 7-game losing streak. They built that back up to a 15 games over 500 before their next 7-game losing streak. But they've kind of righted the ship a little bit and currently 10 games over 500, 2 games left. But I want to give them the roses, though, man.
Yeah, that's big.
You go from losing 106 games to now having 85 wins underneath your belt.
Yeah, which nobody would have thought.
No.
At all. No expectation of anything.
And I should have prepared for this, and I'll have it next week. But the turnaround is almost historic from the perspective of a team that lost over 100 games to a team the next season winning a certain amount of games. And I think the number 86 is sticking out in my mind. And again, I did this research 3 weeks ago. But I don't remember confidently. But I feel like the number is like 86, 87. And so they're at 85 wins right now.
Yeah.
And they're that close to having an historic season this year. But they are going to the postseason. There will be October baseball. And there was a comment that came in with a question about would they play on the same night as the Chiefs and when the Chiefs play Monday Night Football. That was only if they had the 2 seed. would they be able to do that, host a playoff game? So they're currently the seven. They're currently the last wild card team. They're a game back of the Tigers because the Tigers have absolutely dominated down the stretch. But anyway, so the Royals are going to either be the seven or the six. They'll either play the Houston Astros or the Baltimore Orioles in the first round of the postseason three-game series for the wild card spot. So congratulations to the Kansas City Royals. That's amazing work for a front office that's pretty new, a very young core, and a bunch of dudes that just, I don't know, man. It's tough to be a part of a program that's got a losing mentality. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. I mean, what do you go in, it almost like that's the expectation. Like, okay, we're just going to lose ball games. We're going to lose 100 games this season, but it's okay. And it's hard to kind of change a culture when they had such a good culture and then things fell off the wagon. And now they got to turn around, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep. So, Royals are, I guess you say going dancing. I don't know what you say for baseball, but they're going to the postseason.
That's good. That's all you got to say.
All right. College football. Let's talk a little bit about a big time game tomorrow.
Always a big time
game. On 93.7 FM, KAIR. If you're not going to the game, which we encourage you to go to it, but if you can't, listen to Tom Counts on the call with Gus. On 93.7, I know Joseph will be in the studio for that one, and that should be a good one. Number 13, Benedictine, and number 16, Baker. Man, this will be a battle.
It is always a big-time matchup when these two teams face off. But here's the deal. Benedictine, they had a good bounce-back win. They lost to Grandview 2 weeks ago, but they beat St. Ambrose last week 45-14. Ravens, here, this team, their offense is no joke. They set a new record for total offense, 555 yards, 73 plays. They had 473 of those yards through the air.
Wow.
And they completed passes to 14 different players on the team. I mean, this offense is absolutely no joke. They're averaging 41.5 points a game, 471 yards per game. Here's the key, I think, tomorrow for Benedictine. Their defense, they got to show out.
Sure.
They have to step it up. Right now, they're giving up 470 yards per game. They're also giving up 34.5 points a game.
Yeah.
Offense, I think, is going to be fine. They're going to do what they do. I think this is going to boil down to, can Benedictine's defense slow down the Baker offense?
Because Baker's a team coming in 3-0. Big wins over St. Ambrose, William Penn, Culver Stockton. Baker's outscoring their opponents 156-28.
Yeah.
52 points a game. For Baker, 474 total yardage. Is this going to be a shootout, do you think?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a shootout. I mean, both teams, they're scoring a ton of points a game.
Yes.
They're averaging a ton of yards per game.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be a shootout, but the question, can Benedictine do enough to slow down Baker's offense? That's my big deal. I think it's going to rely on the defense. Still think there's going to be a lot of scoring, though.
Keep in mind, again, I think there's – obviously, this is a massive rivalry.
Yeah, it is.
Massive. And there are local kids that play at Baker.
Yep.
There are local kids that play at Benedictine.
Yep.
We are the flagship station on 93.7 FM for Benedictine Raven Athletics. But there are so many parts of this game in specific that – people maybe don't realize go into a contest like this. Benedictine, a team that last year beats Baker and then loses their last game of the year, and Baker goes to the postseason, BC does not.
Yeah.
That was a big kind of controversy. It was a three-way tie for the Heart of America champion for their division.
Yep.
And I feel like BC maybe has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from that. From last year.
Yeah. You get left out.
Yeah.
And that's I know that stung.
Sure.
A lot of people not real happy that they got left out and the way the playoff worked or the tie break, whatever you want to call it. Benedictine wasn't real happy about that. So, yeah, they got a chip. They got to get this done.
And this Baker team, led defensively by a local kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holton alum Cannon Carn, who last week set the record.
All-time record.
all-time record.
All-time in history.
That is insane. For tackles in his career at Benedict or at Baker.
Yes.
And, I mean, congratulations to a local kid that is just showing up and showing out. And down there at Baker, Cannon Carn is an absolute animal. He was a 100-plus tackle a year guy for Holton when he was in that program. And, man, he's just doing things at the next level, too.
Yeah. Well, and I think, if I remember, Brian, maybe I shouldn't even say it because I don't know. When Cannon first went to Baker, yeah, I think early in the season he wasn't real sure if he was going to get a lot of time, and they had a guy ahead of him that went down. So Cannon jumps in, and from the get-go, just was like, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. And so, again, we know we have a ton of listeners that, you know, are big Baker fans or alums, and then a ton of listeners that are big Benedictine fans or alums. And so, again, it's going to be a fun ball game. And I plan to listen to it. 93.7 FM. If you can't make it, you should listen to it too. BC and Baker tomorrow. Make sure that you are ready for that big time NAIA showdown in Atchison. That game, pregame at 12:45, and kickoff scheduled for 1:00. Just got a text that came in and said, "Go Ravens."
Yeah.
I'm going to take that as Baltimore Ravens.
No.
I'm kidding.
Can't even say that.
Highland at against Independence this week, Boss. Highland drops a game.
They did. Highland, well, we were – this is no shade to Highland.
Nope.
We were talking about they were 3-0, really good start. This is a good football team, but they stubbed their toe last week.
Yeah.
They lost to Dodge City by a score. Get this.
The Conks.
6-9.
Whoa.
And it was just a tough game for Highland just from the beginning. I mean, it was 0-0 at the end of the third quarter. Highland got on the board. They scored in the fourth quarter, I think just to start the fourth quarter, around 14 minutes. But the PAT got blocked. Dodge City recovers it. They return it. They get 2 points for returning that. Then with about 13 minutes to go in the game, Highland, they fumbled the ball, their own 15. Dodge City recovers, scored a touchdown, sealed the victory for them, 9-6. Highland's a team that was averaging a ton of yards on offense. They just couldn't get things going. Tough loss for them, but they face off against Independence. Independence is 1-2 on the season. I really think Highland, I'm sure that stung a little bit.
Sure.
Opportunity to go to 4-0. They're still ranked number 13 in the country, so they still got a lot of football left this season, but I think they're going to get the win tomorrow against Independence and right the ship.
Right the ship, as you mentioned. That was a high-flying offense from Highland, and so definitely kind of surprising to see a very low offensive put out that time by HCC. But, yeah, I look for them to bounce back for sure as well. You didn't write anything down for old Hutch. I know they had a bye last week.
They did have a bye.
But got a big-time game this week?
Honestly, I don't even know. And here's why. I've kind of been on the been down a little bit. I don't know if I told Jace, he's out. Got a little concussion issue going on, so he's not playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just doing some rest. So I hadn't even looked at who they've got. I was just kind of consumed with, okay, he's not playing. I should be got my Hutch gear on and don't even know they're playing.
You don't even know. That's all right. We'll move on. Division I football, big-time game coming up here for your Hawks, buddy. Last week, I was giving them the roses, man. I fully expected them to go win by 2 touchdowns. I fell asleep during the game when it was 21-17, and then they kind of fell apart, right?
They did fall apart. And it seems to be this is the theme with my Jayhawks this season with football. They get a lead. They're late in the game. They can't hold on to it. They ended up getting the loss. West Virginia comes back, wins the game towards the end. And here's the thing we've talked about a ton. I mean, we talk about this a lot. And I think right from the very beginning of the season, you asked me about KU, and I told you Jalen Daniels, he's going to go. This team is going to go as far as he can take him. And right now, Jalen Daniels, he is on the struggle bus. He's got 7 interceptions through 4 games, only 5 touchdown passes. So this team they're just really struggling right there. The defense can't hang on to a lead late in the game. And, you know, I was reading some stuff about KU, and I think the big thing is the offense got to do a better job of putting more points on the board, give their defense some time, give them a break, so they maybe have a little more to finish out the end of the game. And they take on TCU, and I know you told me last week, like, oh, they're going to beat West Virginia.
I had them at 5-3
yeah,
or 5-2.
They're going to beat West Virginia. They're going to beat TCU. They're going to beat all, and I'm like, you're crazy. I have just not a whole lot of confidence right now because I just haven't seen.
I want to show. I just want to throw it out there that I was not like trying to do any like dark, you know, magic, like reverse psychology type thing. I truly believed what I said about KU getting a road win at West Virginia and then kind of running the table until they played K-State. So I was as disappointed, I think, as a lot of UKU fans out there with the way that they struggled down the stretch. I spent a lot of time today with three other KU fans, and we talked a lot about it.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me this from your perspective, but I feel like the consensus I'm getting from KU fans is Daniel or Devin Neal needs to get 20-plus touches, and Daniel Hyshaw needs 15 touches a game for KU to be successful.
Yeah, I told you that a couple weeks ago when he was averaging 8-9 yards per carry. And I think at that point, the numbers I think you referenced was – you know, he carried the ball 23 times. I mean, does he need more? And I said, yeah, absolutely he does. And it's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because if Jalen Daniels can't get more efficient throwing the ball, we've got two phenomenal backs. Hyshaw and Neal, you said their names. Those guys can run the ball. I think KU's got to commit to a run game and stick with it and got to limit turnovers. You cannot win college football with two interceptions every game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just turning the ball over. You can't do that.
It's not working.
No, it's not working. And that brings up a whole other thing we can talk about sometime is I've heard, talk on when's the cord get pulled on Jalen Daniels.
Ooh.
I mean, is that
a Heisman candidate preseason getting pulled?
7 interceptions through 5 games or 4 games, yes. I mean, there's that conversation.
Is that emergency button being pushed right now?
I think that it's being talked about.
Wow.
I don't know 100%. That's just what I'm hearing. But yeah, I mean, how can you not if Jalen Daniels continues to turn the ball over multiple times per game? You've got to look at some point to another option, or run the ball a heck of a lot more and take some pressure off him. Maybe
Ballard is waiting in the wings. KU and.
He's the future. He's the next guy. So if Jalen Daniels can't get it done, Jalen Daniels is gone next year. And maybe you just say, okay, let's go with the young guy.
As a fan, are you content with waiting for the next 2 months before you get to see Ballard take it over?
You know, I'm to the point, I'm kind of waiting to tomorrow, 5 games in.
Okay.
You're getting close to half the season here.
Sure.
If it's the same script tomorrow, then I'm saying pull Ballard.
Okay, KU at home against TCU, 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. That's from Arrowhead tomorrow as well. So KU trying to right the ship and get off of the schneid on a 3-game losing streak right now. How about the Cats? They play tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Pregame begins at 9:30 on 92.1 KMZA as well as 103.9 KNZA. K-State got absolutely blasted last week, and I told you on this show.
You did.
Provo at night, I am nervous about.
That place was
scared.
That was a crazy environment.
You cannot win a college football game by kicking field goals inside the 20-yard line. The Cats did that twice on their first two drives, drove the length of the field, looking good. Avery Johnson looked good. Giddens looked good. Settled for field goals. And then the wheels fell off.
Tell me about momentum. How many times have we talked about Uncle Mo? Some people say, oh, it's not a thing. There's no such thing. You go back and watch that game. Tell me momentum wasn't massive in that game.
Interception. 2 plays later, touchdown. Or, fumble. 2 plays later, touchdown. Interception.
Punt return.
Punt return for a touchdown. I mean, in a matter, I think, of 5 game minutes, it went from 6-0, Boz, to 21-6.
Yeah, it was.
In a matter of 5 minutes of game time.
It was fast.
Quick fast. And BYU just absolutely destroyed the Cats and When you take a game like that on the chin, dude, you got to pick yourself back up. Oh. And I just want to give a quick shout-out. BYU, I don't know if anybody saw this or understood what happened, but earlier in the week last week, Avery Johnson said, hey, for every touchdown I score, I'm going to donate X amount of dollars to my former high school coach who's battling cancer down in Wichita, right?
Yep.
You know how many touchdowns Avery Johnson scored last week?
None.
Zero. Do you know that he raised over $20,000 for his coach, though?
That's awesome.
And it was the people of Provo that donated to it.
That's very cool.
It was BYU fans who saw what he was, what he put out there. And it just goes to show you that, yes, it was a terrible game. And K-State fans, you know, were disappointed, upset, whatever. But then you see the human side of it. Gives you chills a little bit.
Oh, it's
awesome. And you realize that, man, shout out, not a single person from Provo, Utah is listening to us right now.
No.
But shout out to the BYU fans.
Yeah.
For doing that. Just an amazing gesture. I mean, I can't imagine it was all in jest, but I'm sure there's a couple people like, let me give you $5 here, Avery, because we kept you out of the end zone.
It's still cool.
It's still amazing.
Yep.
They got a tough contest tomorrow, dude, against the Pokes. Oklahoma State lost at home against Utah last week, and they looked putrid on offense.
Yeah.
The Cats look putrid on offense. Who's showing up tomorrow at 11 o'clock?
I don't know. I heard somebody say the other day, like, oh, it's going to be fine. We're gonna beat Oklahoma State next week. And I think Oklahoma State's a pretty good football team.
Mm, yeah.
Like you said, they lost last week, but I think being at home, Utah's no joke, who beat Oklahoma State.
Top 10 team.
Yeah, beat them by 3.
Yep.
I think Oklahoma State's a good football team, but I would go with K-State winning at home.
Mm. I don't like 11 o'clock kicks. I've said that forever. I hate 11 o'clock kickoffs. There's something about it for the kids. I don't know. Just me. K-State's favored by 5.5 points at home. That's a lot to me. So top 25 matchup between the two.
Yeah.
Big time, Big 12 implications on the line in that one. Again, you can listen to it on 103.9 KNZA or 92.1 KMZA. I hope the Cats can pull it out, no doubt. But, man, they got a tough stretch coming up as well. And speaking of Cats, Boz, I took a phone call because I told you I got a text about, you know, go Ravens.
Yeah.
Took a phone call, and I just wanted to say go Wildcats tomorrow for Baker.
Okay.
So
that's what they said?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so give it a shout out to the Baker Wildcats.
All right.
Phone call came in a minute ago as well for that. So,
all right.
Speaking of Wildcats. So, yeah, K-State, Oklahoma State tomorrow, KU, TCU tomorrow as well. How about Nebraska? This time last week we realized, oh, shoot, they play on Friday, and they lost at their game against Illinois.
Yeah.
And so they try to bounce back tomorrow on the road at Purdue. Nebraska favored by 10, Purdue's 1-2. Look for Nebraska to bounce back tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be – here's my deal with – you look at Nebraska, they've kind of been on the edge, too. You know, we talked a lot last year about them, how they were right there.
Yeah.
They needed one more win out of their last 4 games to make a bowl game, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They get this win tomorrow, they're 4-1. I think they're going to beat Purdue, and then
Rutgers, Indiana. I mean, they got a good schedule. And then they go to Ohio State.
Yeah. I'm by no means a Nebraska Cornhusker fan, but
GDR.
I want to see him do it.
All right.
I want to see him make it to a bowl.
Good for you, man. Look at you. I don't want to share the love.
It's like the underdogs, you know. They've been they've been really bad. Now they're getting better.
Do you not remember the decades on decades that Nebraska was dominant, though, and they just rubbed it in all the time?
Youngster, I remember them. I remember them being really good way before you remember them being really good.
Valid.
Yep. There's no doubt. I mean, people in this area even. Now, I grew up in Colorado, but there was Nebraska CU battles that I remember as a kid. And, Nebraska kind of had their way with the old Big Eight. But it's a team that we've got some fans around here that are Husker fans. So I want to give them some love. I'm rooting for them.
Okay. All right. I just have that in the back of my head a lot of –
you got some hurt feelings?
I wouldn't say hurt feelings, but I just remember how glorious that snowy night was when the Cats beat Nebraska for the first time in ages.
Forever.
And I'll never forget the call that Greg Sharp did on that game.
I don't remember. I'm not K-State.
I know you're not.
But
I mean, just the emphatic excitement of, holy cow, this just happened.
It finally happened.
And it happened in dominant fashion.
Yeah. That's a cool thing, though, with sports and those kind of wins. You'll never forget those.
Never. Never, ever. All right. We got to move on to the professional ranks. Oh, man, you left somebody off.
I did?
Yeah. You got the Chiefs-Chargers game for a preview.
Well, who did I leave off then?
I don't know. The Flock, man.
Oh, God.
Got the first win of the year last week, and you're showing zero love.
Yeah.
On any of the prep.
No, I didn't do any prep on the Ravens. I don't ever do prep on the Ravens. That's your job.
I'm not asking you to do prep on. I just put them on the dang sheet. The disrespect.
It's all good.
I mean, you don't disrespect. You know, we just talked about how you're lovey-dovey and you're always like, oh, I love all the teams. I'm not going to be one-sided and blah, blah. But except for the Ravens.
Except for the Ravens.
Which I still don't understand the absolute disgruntled thought processes.
The disdain for the Baltimore Ravens.
From fans that just can't stand the Ravens.
It's not that I really can't stand them. I just, because you like them so much. That's really it.
Ah, there it is. Ravens got a big win on the road against America's team last week. Big lead in the fourth quarter. I'm going to say it because it's NFL, not local high school officials. So, you know, I always support the high school officials. But the professional officials, man, not just even in the Ravens game. I mean, I don't know how much NFL you've been watching, dude, but some of those officiating crews have just been...
It's a little iffy.
These people are getting paid over six figures to do this. And I'm sorry, but anybody else's job, if you're subpar, you get reprimanded at some capacity.
Yeah.
And if you do it consistently enough, you're not going to have that job anymore.
Yeah.
It's getting too consistent with some of this. The amount of penalties that are being called, you know, even like the Chris Jones roughing the passer last Sunday night against the Falcons, just terrible call.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Oh,
a lot
man.
Of that going on.
In the Ravens game, they're up 28-6, and just a couple terrible DPIs called. Even the head official that's on the broadcast is like, oh, I don't know about that one. And anyway, they do get the win, dude. 1-2, but they're home against, I've seen some reporters and some big-time media names say the Buffalo Bills are the best team in football because of the way they're winning dominantly. They haven't played hardly anybody this year. And when I say they haven't hardly played anybody this year, I'm talking about because they beat the Cardinals barely at home. They beat the Dolphins on the road. And the Dolphins are kind of,
yeah.
And then they dismantled the Jaguars this past week. And the Jags just look like, it looks like Trevor Lawrence is a 10-year-old kid out there on the football field right now.
Yeah, struggle bus.
Struggling. And so they haven't really played much of a schedule. You look at the Ravens. Yeah, we played the Raiders and lost. Ew, that's a bad loss. Let's play the Chiefs and at the Chiefs and at the Cowboys. Now you got home. I don't know, dude. Ravens are favored in that game by 2.5, which means on a Vegas line like that, it's a toss-up.
Yep.
Because the home team gets 3 points is the mindset, right?
Yep.
That's a toss-up game. I have no idea what's going to happen. The Ravens show that Derrick Henry needs to get the ball more. He got the ball more last week, and he ran all over them Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. He had a heck of a game.
Great game for him last week. So, obviously, be putting my purple flag out on the front porch. But that's going to be a game I'm going to be watching with one eye open and one eye shut, I think.
It'll be interesting. I don't know that Ravens just haven't shown like the being able to dominate, you know, get a 3-score win or something like that.
Sure.
I mean, it's, and against the Bills, that's going to be a tough one.
All right, shifting gears a little bit and talk about maybe a dominant win. We talked about this last week, and you're not content, Boz. You are not content with the way the Chiefs are playing football right now because you want to see a dominant win. And the Chiefs, every single win, they're 3-0. And I said it last week. It doesn't matter. They're the best franchise ever right now. Ever.
Yeah.
Because they're just winning games.
They're winning. They are winning. And here's, let me back up a little bit. It's not that I'm not happy with the Chiefs because they're winning games.
Sure.
And we talked about this last year. the Chiefs have not done it in dominant fashion. So these close games, I mean, they the last three games, their wins have come down to the final minute. You know, a couple years ago, Chiefs were up two or three scores late in a game.
Sure.
I mean, they would separate from teams. Sometimes they would come back, make it close. But for the most part, the Chiefs were well ahead of a team. And they just haven't been able to do that. And it kind of started last year. They just haven't been as productive and efficient on offense, kicking a lot of field goals.
Yeah.
Kind of doing the same thing this year. So that part of it worries me. And, you know, this game, they play the Chargers on the road tomorrow. And kind of looking at some of the history there, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's had his way with the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But several of the games they've had against the Chargers in the past, same thing. They've come down to, you know, the last minute of the game. They haven't blown the Chargers out.
Right.
I think that's going to be a really tough game for them on the road. Chargers, not a bad team at all. I just think they've got to be more efficient in the red zone. And, you know, you hear all this stuff. People are talking about Travis Kelce, and he's got, I don't know, what is he, like 60-some yards or something? I mean,
I thought you were going to say 67 years old.
No. But people are saying that. He's lost a step.
Yeah.
He's really old. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think defenses are – if you're a defensive coordinator, you know who's going to get the ball, and the rest of the wide receiver core for the Chiefs is not fantastic. Who are you going to shut down?
Sure.
And their game planning. He's got – you know, he's getting double-teamed. He's not open all the time. It's not the – he's lost a step, or he's not as good, he's distracted, all that nonsense.
Are you concerned with Patrick Mahomes right now? Honest assessment. Because his QBR for the season, quarterback rating is 47.
It's not great at all.
His completion percentage is just shy of 70%. He's got five touchdowns with four interceptions this year.
The interceptions is what scares me a little bit more than anything, because he's always been very good at decision-making, throwing the balls away. And,
sure.
It seems like he's maybe pressing a little bit more, and he's trying to force things that aren't there. There's a couple passes he's made this year that have led to interceptions where I'm just wondering, what the heck are you looking at? Like, there's no way that's getting to your receiver. And so I don't know. I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how do you get super worried about Superman, you know?
Right. Superman, I like that.
Yeah.
So what's his kryptonite right now?
Because
he's throwing those picks.
I don't know exactly what it is. But we talked about it too last year. I mean, he's having to scramble a lot. He's getting pushed out of the pocket a lot, and he's throwing on the run. And I don't know. He's just I said it last year. I don't think he's super comfortable. And probably a lot of that is getting pressured, and he's having to scramble a little bit more. But
new offensive lineman, definitely. You know, new left tackle.
Yep.
His left tackle got benched. So there's different moving parts. For sure. I think the Chiefs win this. Go ahead.
Well, Pacheco out.
Out.
That's a huge blow.
How about Carson Steele, dude?
Dude, he's
undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Homie looks like compared him to Mike Allstott. You remember him?
Oh, absolutely. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
The dude that, I'll just never forget seeing him run the football one time, and his helmet kind of went down, and it busted open his nose.
Yeah.
Bleeding and just dripping blood, and he just stayed in the game like, I'm a tough fullback.
He's the guy that you see pictures of. His shoulder pads were like seven times bigger than they needed to be. He looked like his shoulders were like 5 feet wide. I mean, he was a big dude.
Yeah, he was massive. Carson Steele reminds me of Mike Allstott.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's high praise for a young rookie, but, man. Big injury note for this game, though. Justin Herbert, still questionable whether or not he will play with that high ankle sprain. And if Herbert is not able to go, I mean, you're looking at Taylor Heinicke as the backup. And I think no matter what, though, I think the Chiefs win this game by two touchdowns.
I don't know. I just they can't score in the red zone. I'm thinking this is a 17-14 game. Chiefs win.
17-14?
Yeah.
That's your prediction?
Yeah.
Did you ever – you didn't yet. Give me your season total yet?
No, I didn't.
Because I had the Chiefs at, what, 15-2?
I think so.
I had them at 15-2 and the Ravens at 11-6. You still haven't done that, huh?
I haven't done that. I haven't looked that far.
You were supposed to do that this week.
You know, I just go 1 week at a time.
Okay. All right. You know, you do your thing, man.
I will.
It's your world. We're just living in it.
That's exactly right.
I love the comment that came in from a listener that typed in on Facebook. Shout out to Kyle. Said the Chiefs are treating the regular season like a really good NBA franchise. They put it on cruise control to try and stay healthy until January. Then it's game time.
Load management.
I like
at
that.
At the NFL level.
I've heard that about Travis Kelce specifically. Like, hey, he's only got X amount of games left in his career. He is getting up there.
True story.
So they're not going to be putting him out there, and, you know, putting him in a bad situation, stuff like that, in these early season games. I think that's a really good take.
I'm kind of torn. I mean, yeah, but how do you do that? You coast mode. I mean, you don't
conservative
play.
Offensive play calling. I think that's a big thing. That defense is so good. That defense to me needs to be top five in the league right now. But offense is what's killing the Chiefs and making these close games.
So how do you, if you're not going full bore, at some point that's going to come up and bite you.
Sure.
And then you open the door for, not bad habit, but you get in that mode of, okay, can you flip a light switch and just all of a sudden go from, we're just kind of getting by to, okay, now we're going to beat somebody by five touchdowns and our offense is going to click on all cylinders.
If I'm getting paid $47 million to play a game, yes, I can flip a light switch.
You were the one last year griping about, I was complaining because the receivers wouldn't catch balls. And I told him, you're getting paid all this money, you can't make a catch. And now you're saying they should just be able to flip a light switch and be
maybe
all
that
world.
Was a part of the script last year. They were on cruise control. They're like, "Hey, we ain't going
to
catch this ball."
Dropping passes just to make everybody think they weren't
exactly.
Very good.
Exactly. It's like, this is great entertainment.
I don't know. I think the Chiefs have some real struggles on offense.
You got the Chiefs 17-14.
17-14.
Okay. Chiefs are favored by 7. Again, Chargers are at home. That's a 3-point swing for them. 7.5, I should say. So, according to Vegas, they're thinking this is going to be a 10-point game. I got the Chiefs by 2 touchdowns, winning by 14. Final score, 28-14 for the Chiefs.
Whew. I don't know. You haven't been very good on your predictions here.
No, I have not. I have not. Last year was mucho better. This year, struggle bussing.
All right. We'll see what happens.
That's why I don't gamble.
Chiefs, they'll get the win. They'll find a way.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We got one order of business left to do, Bozzy, and then we got to get out of here, dude. Give us our Luka Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees, and then give us our winner or winners.
All right. You left the door open for me there. Okay, here's what we got for nominees tonight from Hiawatha, Ethan Morton and Connor Kettler. We didn't have stats on them, but really good ball games tonight for those two young men. From Holton, Bodie Dillon, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Also had another kickoff return that he took down to the 5-yard line. He also had 65 rushing yards tonight with one touchdown. That was Bodie Dillon from Holton. From Nemaha Central, Levi Thomas. Young man knocked in 2 field goals tonight in their 13-7 win over Chanute. He had a 30-yard field goal and a 41-yard field goal. From ACCHS, Cannon Crossland. He had 150 rushing yards tonight with 4 touchdowns. Big night for Cannon Crossland. From Jackson Heights, we got 3 different nominees. Titus Eisenbarth, 9 rushes for 97 yards, 4 touchdowns. Drake Mellies, 9 rushes for 109 yards with 2 touchdowns. Also 6 for 10 passing for 122 yards and a touchdown. And then Cade Holiday, he had 4 rushes tonight for 81 yards. Really good nights for those 3 guys from Jackson Heights. From Nemaha Central, Carter Hike. He had there it is. You're late on that.
My mic was muted. I had to kick it on.
So Carter Hike, he had another good night. 23 carries for 125 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground. He also had 40 yards passing tonight. From JCN, Will Elias, he had 12 rushes tonight for 141 yards. That is 11.75. yards per carry. He also had 2 touchdowns on the night and 78 yards passing.
Also had a 2-point conversion. That came in late.
Okay. Add that in there. 2-point conversion as well for Will Elias from JCN. And then from Riverside, Elijah Moore. We don't have total numbers as far as rushing or anything, but he had 3 touchdowns tonight in their win, their comeback win over Marhill Mount Academy. So those are our nominees.
Okay. That's a lot of nominees.
A lot of nominees.
Are you picking one or are you picking multiple?
It's so hard. I'm picking one, though.
What?
I'm
shocked.
I know. There's so many. I could go with 5 or 6 of these guys. I love seeing these young guys having fantastic nights, helping their teams win ball games. But here's an unusual one. We don't get this a lot.
Okay.
I'm going with Levi Thomas.
Hey!
from Nemaha Central. Young man kicks in two field goals, a 30-yard field goal, 41-yard field goal. Woo. Nemaha Central wins 13-7. If he doesn't make those field goals, totally different ballgame.
All right. So Levi Thomas.
Yeah, buddy.
Nemaha Central, congratulations on the foot of a kicker.
Yeah.
You mentioned it. It doesn't happen often.
They don't get enough love.
Especially in high school.
No, there's just not many dudes that can kick field goals in high school.
And so two clutch field goals separates the Thunder from Chanute tonight. Congratulations, Levi. You are the winner of the Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness in Sabetha. Game ball of the evening. Buzz, we covered a lot of information
tonight. Lots of stuff.
It's going to be this way the rest of the way because district action is here, which means every game is ever more important. Don't forget, tomorrow, 93.7 FM's coverage of Benedictine and Baker. We've had fans from both sides jump in on the show tonight, giving us their go Ravens, go Wildcats. You can listen to pregame at 12:45 with Tom and Gus Kautz. Or get there. Be at that game.
Go to the game.
Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Right here on 103.9 and 92.1, we've got K-State, Oklahoma State kicking off at 11 o'clock. Pregame begins at 9:30. Make sure you keep it locked if you're not going out to the Bill. And, again, just a shout-out, Kansas City Royals, man, going to the postseason for the first time since they won it all back in 2015. Well, Boz, that's going to do it for us, buddy. We're going to have another week, and, man, next week's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah,
it is.
District Action Week 2 next week. Make sure you keep it locked here. Thanks to all of our business partners for making this possible. And shout-out Community National Bank, Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness, and Giant Communications for making this show with our other boosters possible. So much, or so long for hanging out. Man, I can't even do this right.
Time to go home.
Have a good weekend.
The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Helena Agra Enterprises, JVN Telephone Company, by McDonald's in Hiawatha and Seneca, Bruna Implement Company, Blue Valley Technology, by Honeyman Ford, Sunflower Community Credit Union, by Commercial Tire Solutions, by Giant Communications, MCON, by the Denison State Bank, BNP Propane, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, by Lukert Chiropractic, and by The Elevator in Valley Falls. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is an exclusive production of the MSC Sports Radio Network.